to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello out there, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are. I am your host of Standing in the Sunlight, Cynthia Rose McCaw. I just want to mention, if you can't always be on the web, you can catch this show on iTunes Podcasts, iHeartRadio, on the YouTube channel for Om Times, and I add it to the playlist on Cynthia Rose Medium. Please subscribe to Cynthia Rose Medium on YouTube, and I'd love to connect with you on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium or Cynthia Rose Music. Also, we do have a Cynthia Rose Medium group if you want to interact with the show. Brendan is actually monitoring that. If you have any questions or comments or anything, you can also call in to the show at 1-202-570-7057. I also want to mention that I have music and meditation CDs available. Some of it is original, different styles. I refuse to be pegged into one spot, I guess. And also you can receive a free download called Connecting with Loved Ones that is on my meditation CD by subscribing to my newsletter through my website at CynthiaRoseMedium.com. Also, I will be at the Body Mind Spirit Expo in Tinley Park, Chicago, doing gallery readings there with medium Kim Moore on Saturday, June 2nd from 4 to 6 and Sunday, 11 to 1. We have a booth there called Two Mediums, and I think it has our name too. And also, my husband Brendan will be there teaching Reiki 1 class. You can sign up. It's all information of that is at bmse.net. Okay, got all that out. Okay, so today we're going to be having our guest Tony Stockwell, international medium, who will be calling in shortly. Tony has been demonstrating mediumship for over 30 years. In the UK, they have something called national tours, and he's done 13 of them from 2004 to 2018. He works a lot with or shared the stage with American medium James Van Praagh, if you've heard of him. And also, he also toured with the late medium Colin Fry. He teaches all over the world. You know, I was thinking about this today, and I was thinking the vast amount of knowledge that listeners are going to hear from today and Tony. He's had 6 TV shows, taught and demonstrated all over the world. He travels extensively, leaves his family to share this information. And I know a lot of mediums, and there is no dispute, to know him is to love him. He's a leader in mediumship development, and he's just a beautiful human being. So I am going to be so excited to have him on the show to talk today. And just wanted to take a moment to mention that Uranus has moved into Taurus. For those of you that follow the planets or don't follow, this is a major shift that's happened in the collective. And That happened May 15th, yesterday. An interesting thing about that is that the Fox sisters were the beginning of Victorian age awareness of mediumship. And while there may have been mediumship in other ways with tribes or shamans, that began in March of 1848 when Uranus was in Aries. And it takes about 84 years to cycle, so it's not an oncoming, it's not something that happens regularly, it's an 84-year cycle. And at that time, there was a certain type of mediumship that evolved and began to say, oh, we can communicate, we can communicate. And then we went again into the 30s, right before the war. And Uranus was in Aries, and that a lot of astrologers say that precipitation of the war was during the Uranus in Aries, and we've certainly had a certain amount of conflict over the last 7-8 years. But we've now moved into a new time. We've gone 2 cycles, and we've shifted into a new time. And now I want to say Uranus is about evolving, awakening, and taking things to a new level. And I think spiritual evolution or revolution, however you like to think of it, is a time that we're in. And we all have cycles. That's what I love about astrology, is that we all have these cycles. And the cycle of Uranus right now is wherever it sits in your astrology chart, is where that will be affecting you. So it may only affect one part of your life, or if the makeup of your beautiful self, the picture of you with the heavens, it might be a very prominent thing for you in this life. So at this time, but it is definitely a change. And so just remember that change is the constant in our lives, whether or not we know it or not. It's an illusion to think of anything as solid or lasting in the form we know it. You know, we ourselves are moving through this life in a form that will change. You know, even physicists now say that solid matter isn't really the way we see it. And, well, this kind of reminds me of a lesson, gosh, about almost 40 years ago. I came across some books called A Course of Miracles. And there was lessons that were daily lessons on learning how to see the world. I don't remember the exact words now, but it was basically teaching you to see that the mundane of what you see, the solidness of what you see, is not really just a solid object. And so that's one of those things I like to think about, is that there could be a parallel universe. We don't know, right? I like to think that's where the missing sock goes. Somehow there's a portal in my dryer. And this other sock disappears into that. And somebody in another universe is saying, where are all these socks coming from? So, and that's my parallel universe joke. But although everything is changing, whether faster or slower in our lives, change is happening. And yesterday Uranus moved into Taurus, and the outer planet affects the collective in a very big way. The last time that it shifted into Aries, we had the Fukushima incident, not always horrible thing's going to happen. It just brings about change. And of course, we had the volcanoes in Hawaii right at the end of this could also be, because when it enters and leaves a sign, there's also a powerful energy. Remember, everything is energy. So you have a point in your life now that is wanting change, or there is going to be a yearning for change. That change can be a deepening or evolving. You know, for me, Uranus shifted into my first house when it shifted there, I was extremely shy all my life, but I found that finally I was getting some results about moving past my shyness, and that somehow I had found that, gee, I'm not shy when, like I used to fundraise with other professional singers and musicians, and as I would get up to sing, inevitably somebody would say they wanted to mention that I was the organizer, and the look of horror would come on my face. I would blush, my heart rate would race. I would think, oh no, you're not going to make me talk, are you? Which, here I am talking now, so obviously there's been a shift. I came to realize that if I feel like I'm being in service and it's helpful, that I could somehow bypass that shyness. So for me, that was where Uranus was transformational for me, when it was in my first house, because the first house rules the physical body, the identity, the self. And really, to take a line from, you know, Star Trek, and, you know, resistance is futile. There is change that's going to happen for all of us somewhere. And if we fight it and get stuck in our old ways, then we're going to have a difficult time, because change is the constant. So the best thing I can offer you, without having your personal chart here, is to try and stay in the moment, experience things, being aware that things can shift. Do something in your day ritually to remind yourself that things are not static, because that can help you. Because for some of you, this will bring very radical change. That energy is how you'll use it. And for others, it'll be a slower evolving. You know, if it's happening in your second house, maybe a change in your finances, and how you're going to operate with your spouse, or you know, your own self-value, your self-worth, the way you think about yourself may be shifting. So it's a really good time right now to think about, where have you evolved to in your life over the last 7 to 8 years? What cycle has been in your life that shifted? It's a really good time to think back about that, because even if you don't know your chart right now, you can think back. There has been a cycle that you can bring about into your awareness. So I just was going to mention, it depends where it is in your house. So where, you know, which house it sits in. But it is a great time to think about and bring about the shifts that you want, the changes that you want. You know, if it's sitting in your third house right now, it's going to help you transform the way you communicate. It might affect the way you travel, but if all forms of communication become very important to you. Sometimes, you know, learning new things related to communication, ruling astrology. I will be talking more about this next week as well. Next week I'll talk more about this when I'm in Chicago. So also, you know, if it's sitting at the bottom of your chart, it's going to transform it's like your inner soul be going through a shift. So one thing I feel like I want to mention too is, a lot of people say to me, I don't really understand astrology. And I like to explain that, and I'll go more into that next week. Everything is energy. And when you're born, this picture of you was drawn in the heavens. And that is all of these energies. And astrology is very much a science. And it's just one way to look at it is scientifically. I've always looked at it in a rather spiritual, evolutionary type of way. Although you can get right down and do mathematical calculations to figure things out. If we go way back, it ties into sacred geometry. You know, it's the fundamental belief that everything is connected. So if you think about the moon and says, well, how can a planet affect me? Well, the moon affects our tide on our oceans, and there is an interconnection. And our emotions are where our moon is in our chart. So if you have Uranus right sitting conjunct right beside your moon right now, it's going to transform the way you are emotionally, and your emotions may suddenly change. You know, Uranus is unpredictability. So that is something that I'm talking in general, since we're all out here, what might be going on. So leave an open space in your day to remind yourself minute by minute to just take a moment and breathe in what it is that you would like to see going on, and maybe thinking about a little bit about what you might be in resistance to, because that might be the very thing that's going to have some change come into your life. The other thing about this, I'm going to talk about this after the break. If we'll see when Tony's going to be supposed to be calling in. So as soon as we have him here, we may shift gears here. We're going to a break, and hopefully our guest will be here when we come back. If not, we'll continue on.
Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back at 222. Keep seeing 111 and 222. So I'm going to continue on for now talking about the shift and the change that's happening, but focus a little bit more of that with mediumship, something that's very interesting to me. Going back, rather than going through all of the houses right now, because you may not know your chart, you're interested in having your chart done, You can always contact me. I do have online booking as well. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is that I believe that we're in a time when mediumship is opening up. I can't tell you, more and more I have people in my office whose kids are aware of family members that have crossed over. They themselves lose someone and they find they're very aware. People that are accepting it are having a much easier time than those that are resisting it. And the resistance, if you're feeling the resistance, that's okay. That can come from just a fear, because it's not something we learn in school. There's been lots of superstition about it. So right now, we are in a really big shift of consciousness, a big time where it's changing how we see that. And some people are afraid that if they're aware of someone, that maybe that means that they're trapped or, you know, unable to be free. And that's just not my experience. I can tell you in all the readings I've done, I've never had anybody come through and say, I'm trapped, I'm not okay. To me, it's very much a fear-based, man-made kind of superstition. And I actually have looked into and studied and looked at different viewpoints on this. And the interesting thing about when people say, well, I have a ghost here, and they think, you know, there's often fear that's there. And it doesn't really exist if there's no fear. Although a presence may exist, we can have like trapped thoughts that we just keep repeating. And, you know, if I think about my mom, I know that she's right there with me. She has brought messages directly through someone else when I've asked her to. So I know that we're connected. I know from speaking with my grandfather when I was a little girl, anytime I needed him, and remind you, I never met him, but anytime I needed him, he was right there for me. So I'd just like to remind you, you can call on your loved ones for help. You know, if they were not good with finances, I don't know if I'd ask them for help on finances, but they may have a perspective on you or giving a thought about you that may help you to get out of the way that can create something better for yourself. So just wanted to point that out, because I think that we're moving into a place where in my lifetime, I think it will be more the norm that people will say, oh yeah, I had a conversation. You know, my husband came in the other day and said, oh, by the way, mom says hi. I mean, you know, when we trust the flow and trust the information, it's there. And we've just gone through two cycles of Uranus and Aries from the Fox sisters and a whole evolvement from that. Then we went past the war. And, you know, right around the war time, from what I have read about and heard about, there was a lot of fear that some of the souls were trapped because they didn't know when they were passing that they were going to be, that they weren't, they all, many believed that they were going to a certain place in heaven. And there was all this awakening that was going on after the war as well, because more and more people were going to mediums. And so there was human-based fear that got mixed up in there as well. But now we've gone past these two cycles and we moved into Taurus. And, you know, Taurus rules the throat, so there is communication there. I think it's a time when we need to, with Uranus and Taurus and Saturn and Capricorn, we really need to learn to, one, know our beliefs, know our truth, but also speak our truth. And communication isn't just speaking, it's listening, it's hearing. So it's more important than ever that we have some time in our day to be able to connect, to be able to really hear what our soul is saying. So I'm not sure what's happened to Tony here, but we're just going to continue on. So one of the things that is really interesting, if you look at the cycles, in these larger planets is that they always tie in with big events. So I think that it's really interesting how writers, actors, and artists can be channelers themselves and may not even know it. I think that it's much more natural than we realize. So I was reading, or listening to, I should say, Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Love. And it, really interesting how this actually is an example of what I've been thinking about. Things are always very timely, or synchronicity never lets me down. So she's talking about how she had this idea back in 2008 for Amazonian novel, and she decided she was going to write the novel, and I think she even maybe signed with her company that she was going to write it. But then something happens where her love gets detained, and so she ends up having to live out of the U.S. for a year, and kind of her life gets kind of topsy-turvy, upside down. So she doesn't get to do it, but in 2008, she meets a writer named Ann Patchett, and she hears her speak, and she thinks she's just phenomenal. I think she met her at speaking about a panel discussion on libraries or something, if I'm remembering that correctly. And so she just is so inspired by her. She runs up to her and she, you know, I think she even might have hugged her, I'm not sure. And then she tells her how much she loves her, and, you know, and gives her a kiss and a hug back, and says, I love you too. And they decide to enter into a writing of letters. They don't do internet or phone. They do letters. So they've only met once. They stayed in touch through letters. So it's, remember, a letter, you're reading it and then you're responding. Okay, so in February 2009, they meet up again and they're having breakfast. And I forgot to mention that in 2008, when she meets Anne, she had just kind of abandoned writing this novel. She was put it on hold because of what was going on. But Anne says she's writing a novel on the Amazon jungle. So she says, what's it about? She says, well, I'm not sure. It's too early to tell. Which is another thing I love to say about art, is that it writes itself. Sculptors say, well, that piece of rock became what it was supposed to be. I was just the vehicle. As in, the medium is just the vehicle for the communication. There's something else going on. So in 2009, they're having breakfast, the second time they've ever met. And she says to her, so I've got about 100 pages. And Elizabeth says, okay, you have to tell me what it's about now. Elizabeth has not been writing hers, okay. So she said to Elizabeth, you tell me what yours was about first, since you had one as well. So Elizabeth tells her, well, it was about a middle-aged spinster in Minnesota who's in love with her boss and gets involved in some harebrained scheme to invest with highways in the Amazonian jungle, and his son is sent there with a bunch of money and goes missing. And so because she's in love with her boss and out of duty, she goes down to try and figure things out on the request of her boss, and it's a love story. So Ann Patchett, who she says is very polite, a complete lady, just her jaw just drops and she goes silent. And she says, oh my gosh, that, I can't believe it. You have to be effing kidding. That's the same story. She's writing the story. And so there is that kind of what she calls big magic that happened between them, which is much more everyday than we realize. And so they sit down and they talk more and find out that, well, she had, Elizabeth was putting her story in the 60s. Anne's is contemporary, and Elizabeth's was about highway investment, and, you know, Anne's is about pharmaceutical. But they both have a love story. They both have the lady from Minnesota. They both have someone going missing, the money issue, something. They both use the word harebrained. I mean, it's synchronicity, complete synchronicity. And so they start kind of figuring out, well, when did Liz lose her idea or stop? When she got back from the whole ordeal that happened with her husband and everything and customs, everything they had to go through, when she sat down to start writing it, she felt she'd lost it. So I kind of figured out when that was and when Anne got her idea. And she says in her book that they linked it up probably to about the time they met, when there was that friendly kiss, that maybe there was some type of connection at that time. And so the way I look at that book was desiring to be written. And that book didn't come through Elizabeth, so it went through Anne. And I think that there's much more of that when we realize. And that's an example of artistic channeling by writers. I think it's no accident that happens. I mean, I myself wrote a song, lyrics to a song, I should say, when I was 15 or 16, didn't put music to it. And then the music came out within the year by a well-known artist, which I'm not going to say, but very world famous. So I see. Okay. All right. So that's one example, channeling mundane. Have you ever just shared something with someone because you felt compelled to, and then somebody thanks you saying, that's exactly what I needed to hear? Because I don't know, that's happened to me my whole life, but that's an example of tuning in. You're attuned to the person. That's just like what mediumship is, that we're just attuning to a vibration that's naturally higher. And so that is, I think it's just phenomenal. I think that this goes on in acting. I think actors sometimes embody the person that was, especially when you have somebody who's already crossed over. I'm sure that person is interested in making sure that they're well represented. And I can attest to studying some acting and theater when I was younger, and going from playing one character to the next character and feeling like I was so immersed in one character and so immersed in another. And I might have mentioned this on another show, I'm not sure, but I was playing Sylvia Plath, who was an English poet, who was quite dark, and she actually killed herself. But so it's a book called The Bell Jar. So I actually had to come in character and play her. I'd never seen her on film or anything like that. But when it was over, I studied her for about a month and then had to go in and be interviewed by my acting coach on what that the whole group of us were given different famous people. And he looked at me after and he said, well, you must have seen the video at the library, because you're dressed exactly like her. And I for some reason, was wearing a little, like a skirt with a top, with I was very conservative with this little, not a way that I normally dressed, the way I was dressed, but felt so comfortable. And I had a sort of bravado about me that I didn't have normally. And I said, there's a video about her? I didn't know. But I felt like I was more than myself. And if you listen to actors in so many words or through the lines in their interviews, I mean, they are essentially saying that they become someone else. So it's really quite interesting how that all works. I just also wanted to mention that Tony will be coming to Denver June 26, 27, and 28th, teaching trance mediumship, or trance mediumship as they say in Britain, doing a demonstration of mediumship on June 28th and June 29, 30, and July 1st. He will be teaching advanced mediumship. It's in Denver, in the Belmar area at the Hyatt House. All the information is on my website at cyntheerosemedium.com. If you're in the Colorado area and you're able to come and see him, whether it's just the demonstration or the classes, it sure will be a treat. I did get word from him that something has come up and he's trying to call in just a few minutes. I don't know if we can maybe go to a break when he calls, just to give us a moment to get ready. One of the things as we're going about that is that we were talking about channeling, and you know, automatic handwriting can be like that, where we can just write something from no thought in our head. You know, when it bypasses our mind and it just goes right through, you know, then somebody else has helped us. And I've had that experience in songwriting, where it's not in my mind and my fingers moving, and all the words to the song, they fit in perfectly. So that's could be exactly what is going on there. And sometimes we become aware of who's helping us, and sometimes we're not. It really, really depends. I think that's where much of artwork is very collective, because if you study the history of theater, the history of mediumship, you'll see cycles of people writing about the same things. It's called multiple discovery in the scientific terms. All right, so we're going to go for a break, and when we come back, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks so much.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're back, and we've got Tony Stockwell with us, calling all the way from the UK. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Cynthia. So sorry to be delayed.
These things happen. Well, I've already done lots of introduction on you, so everybody knows all your little secrets and everything.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I guess. God, it's all gone crazy the same. But it's all sorted. I'm good to go. So no problem. So thank you for your patience.
That's good. And it's like almost 9:45 in the evening there for you or something, isn't it?
Uh-huh. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, you've been teaching okay.
I'm used to being a night owl.
Are you? Okay. So you're teaching at the Arthur Findlay College this week?
Yes, I'm at the college, so it's as always an international group there, and it's this one is a general making the most of your mediumship, and I've been given the baby group, which is the more beginners novice group, which is interesting really, because you have to really dig deep, and you can't assume that people know anything, particularly as in when you've been doing this work a long time with an advanced group, we move very quickly. But so I've enjoyed it. You know, it's taken me back to basics again and trying to inspire and try to show people the process of trying to receive inspiration and create that into some kind of message form that's believable, you know, to recipients, to believe, you know, that we as mediums are receiving information that is true. And it does indeed come from another world.
You know, and I've been talking this show, sort of mixing some astrology and channeling and talking, because yesterday Uranus shifted into Taurus, and I did a little researching, and interestingly enough, when the Fox sisters came about, Uranus was in Aries, and it takes about 84 years to go around in a cycle, and that event that happened with the Fox sisters was when Uranus was in Aries, and then the next time Uranus was in Aries was right before the Second World War, which of course was a lot of change, and now we've just left it again, and it seems to me that we're in a time when we don't want to throw out the evidence, but I find more and more people, they want the evidence, but what else have you got? And I think
definitely, yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts on this, but I think I see you as somebody who works very much on the cutting edge of mediumship and where can we push its boundaries. And I think that, could you talk a little bit about trance mediumship and how that helps to push the boundaries, and just your thoughts on it would be nice.
Yeah, of course. Well absolutely. Firstly, the idea that people want more than just evidence, I think it's absolutely right. And I was giving a lecture today, and part of that lecture was, you know, that survival evidence, as we call it, i.e. I have a man here who's Brian, feels like a brother-in-law, that kind of thing on a very good day, of course, when it's accurate, is really just the opening of the door to a whole new world. And of course, newcomers are, of course, completely and utterly fascinated by correct descriptions of people they've known and loved. But of course, after a while, it is, well, what else, what do they want to say? You know, what have they gleaned in the other world? Is there a big message here? You know, if they are truly gathering and coming through with an intelligent information, how does that benefit our world? So I think that's exciting, not because that's particularly exciting, but the fact that people are regular people, this is of course, not the likes of you and I, but regular people, normal people out there are wondering now, what does the other world need to say, want to say? Now where trance comes in, trance mediumship, that's very, very different of course, because that requires the medium as such to relinquish, to release the bonds to or the desire to be conscious. So we're trying to get ourselves as trance mediums into such a receptive space that we're no longer fascinated by what's being said or what's happening. And we're becoming, I guess, subdued, inward, out of it. There's all these different things you could think of, but we're trying to get ourselves into the deepest of meditations, that's what it would at least feel like, so that another world and those who inhabit that other world can come take precedence. So the trance link, the trance bond, is really relinquishing the constant need to be focused and of this world, and giving that focus to somebody else, which is someone else from the other world, a higher mind. And then they gather close, they entrance the medium, and they may well want to act through, I use the body, the hands, gesticulate, etc., or the intelligence, and they will wield their voice their thoughts through the mechanics of the medium's voice and language, etc. They may extend their hands to heal others emotionally, physically, spiritually, etc. So the whole thing, especially for people that really are new to trance, sounds like, what the hell's that about? That just doesn't sound normal. And it isn't normal. There's no question, you can't make it normal for people, but it is also phenomenal, and it is an absolute blessing to allow another being from another world to take precedence over us for at least for some time, for a moment, an hour, whatever it might take, and ultimately take our physical, emotional body on a roller coaster ride, that their intelligence takes precedence over ours. So it sounds actually quite complicated, doesn't it, when you talk about it very quickly. But, you know, you would know yourself how wonderful it could feel.
Yeah, you know, to me, I mean, it feels so normal to me. And I was just saying, the actors, the writers, I mean, so much of that is a form of channeling information, because you'll hear a sculptor say, well, I didn't do that. It just became, that piece of rock became what it needed to be. There's something otherworldly. Yeah. They lost time. You know, I feel that in songwriting, that my mind is completely empty. I don't have a word in my mind, and my pen is moving. And that's a form of, in a limited way, a form of the same thing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where it begins. It begins with inspiration, and then becomes deeper than, and therefore we relinquish consciousness as we do it. So we become less conscious, rather, of the process. But same sort of thing. Today I had to record a children's meditation, and I sat down and thought, oh, I don't know what, well, there you go. Before long, it was typed up and done. And we were everywhere. We were the stars and the moon and the shooting stars, and we were there. We're everywhere. And honestly, it wasn't a thought in my mind, but it felt exactly that, channeled from a deeper space or another space. But it came in such a wonderful way that it really felt easy.
Yeah, yeah. What do you say to people that are sometimes, you know, they're afraid to trust, or, you know, they're somehow afraid that they're going to be taken over, or there's a lot of superstition around this, but there are people that seem to have, you know, fear about this. Well, what do you say to them?
Yeah, stop watching horror movies, for one.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah. secondly, recognize it's a merging of souls. So those people are open enough to recognize that we are all incarnate spirit beings having a physical experience at this time, and then just recognize here that all that happens within the trance connection is the incarnate part of self shares space with a discarnate being. So it's two spirits, ours and theirs, one incarnate, i.e. us, one discarnate, them, merging together. And as we merge, we share one physical form for a while. It's like a beautiful dance, or a duet, if you like, of the soul. But it's never the spirit world would want to come and take over our body and all the kind of other crazy things I hear from people. It's a simple blending. And we open ourselves up to those who are creative, those who are teachers, those who have a message, those who are excited to gather closer to this world than maybe they've ever come since they've passed, because they feel a need to share something beautiful. And whether that is something that's creative or something that's educational, something that's healing, revelatory, it just goes on. So, but those who potentially have the gift to surrender to the spirit world, to within the trance connection, please don't ever fear it. It is, as I said before, like a beautiful duet with somebody in the other world.
And it feels to me like, you know, I've been given a gift when I just allow myself to move aside and have a loved one shares some very unique information, I feel like there's a blessing they pass on to me, or it's just beautiful, uplifting. I mean, I use the word vibration, but words are hard to fit. It just feels like that. I just feel fantastic after.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you're relaying information, you're not just repeating information. You're feeling and then relaying the information. So if, for instance, you've connected with someone's mother and deeply loved and much wanted to gather close, you might say in words, "I have your mother here, she loves you, you were her darling daughter." And that's one thing, because it sounds lovely. But as mediums, we get so much more than that, because we're actually feeling all the love of mother reaching out to her daughter, and it's flowing through us.
Yeah.
So that intensity of need to want to come through, the words that gather, the power that is created, the joy for an opportunity for mother to speak, is so powerful. So, my God, I think we become addicted to our own mediumship after a while.
Yeah. Yes. I love it when somebody comes in, and there's definitely I feel like the people that come to me are people that want readings, so that also makes a difference. But I just feel like, I always feel like I've been given a gift, and there's nothing better. It just feels so wonderful, and all that love. And I feel, as I feel it going through there, when I used to sit there and I'd be like, oh, I'd just be like processing this feeling, okay, I've got to share something. You know, I would just be like, and now it flows, but it's just, there's nothing better. But I find that with students, that it's just, with beginners, it's like getting them to trust that it's okay, because there's so much that goes on. And I get parents of younger ones contacting me, and I say, well, do you watch horror shows or these strange phenomena? Oh, yes. Well, that's just feeding into their mind. That's not coming from spirit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of this fear stuff we talk about comes from religion.
Yeah.
It does, no question. I work a lot in Ireland, and, of course, a lot of people there that are they're breaking free from church because of a lot of controversies around certain individuals in the church. And as they come away embracing mediumship, their own sensitivity, creativity, and it goes forth, there's still that idea of church has said there's good and bad. And so it's difficult, you know, when it's ingrained within you from a child, when you're subjected to these quite archaic teachings of light and dark and good and bad and heaven and hell, etc. Now, I would, as lots of other light workers would recognize, is that the other world is a joyful space full of loving spirits, and it's the crazy aspect of the human nature remains in the world when we pass, thank God. So I truly believe when each spirit person passes, we become a greater manifestation of our own spirit joyfulness, and the earthly conditions that create poor behavior and difficulty are some things that are left in the world. So again, it is difficult to explain very quickly, but if you truly believe that the other world and its inhabitants are joyful light beings, because they can't be anything else. When they're taken from the world, they leave behind all desire and chemical imbalance and addictions too. And we have joyfulness in the other world. So yeah, so when you demystify what spirit are, why they might want to come, and it's just a blending and a beautiful dance of souls, the trance connection becomes very alluring. Because it is, of course, the gateway to all spirit phenomena, the best of anything in the controlled states, whether it be from psychic art or automatic writing to speaking aloud, healing manifestations of spirit. It all hinges on the trance connection, because without that we don't learn how to surrender to spirit to allow them to perfect their art.
Yeah, and a lot of people take, you have quite a few people that will take trance mediumship with you also to become better healers or not just evidence-based mediums, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Because I find that, to me, it's just so much more natural than we realize, and that there's so much, and I like religion and TV or media, if we can sensationalize it to make dollars. You know, actually, it's funny because a friend of mine who's Jewish, she had a word for that in Judaism, which was like, you know, it's easier to make money when or there's a way of making money when you try and appeal to the lower vibration of humanity, which was her explanation for, you know, all of the fear-based information that seems to be collected, which I thought was kind of interesting because there seems to be two sides to every viewpoint and the way we look at it. But I'm looking at the time and I'm seeing that we just have 2 minutes left, and I wanted to make sure I give you time to mention anything, or people can look you up at tonystockwell.com. He'll be in Denver with us the end of June. He's got lots going on. Thank you so much for joining us, Tony. Hope whatever happened, it gets resolved for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry. It's only earth stuff. It's fine. The earth stuff we're going to have to deal with ourselves. So thank you so much for having me on. And I do hope to see as many people there in Denver if they're interested in my work and would like to come work with us.
Okay. All right. Good night, Tony.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.